Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for being a part of our online service today at Calendar Bay Church. In a few moments, we're going to be sharing a communion together. And so if you haven't had a chance to prepare, that I'd give you the opportunity to be able to do that. And so if you need to leave for a second, we'll give you that opportunity. But after we finish our announcements and sing a song, we're going to be sharing communion together. And so as we celebrate what the Lord has done, I want you to be prepared. So just grab some juice and some bread or a cracker, and then we can all share together. Well, we are still under our COVID-19 restrictions, but we have started services here, like in-person services. And so if you are interested in being a part of our in-person service, you have to pre-register beforehand. And so it goes through some questions. And if you are able to answer those questions, then you can register for our service. And so we've kind of moved our registration time. And basically, we've got a cutoff of that we can have 30% of people in the church. And so that works out to be around 45 to 50 people. And so the online service will cut off at 45. And so we're just leaving it open. And then that way, you know, there's not a specific cutoff time. It's just full when it's full. And so I would encourage you that if you feel comfortable coming to our in-person service, you can do that. If not, we're going to be continuing our online service for those that don't feel comfortable being in the church facility at this time. And so either way, you get to enjoy the service here at Calendar Bay Church. We do have our prayer meetings that are happening. Patricia is running the one on a Monday. And so if you are interested in being a part of the prayer meeting this Monday at 7 o'clock here at the church, please contact Patricia and she'll have you registered then, and you can enjoy a time of prayer together. Thank you so much for all the people who have given to the ministry, whether it be online, which is a very safe and secure way. And you have been very generous. And so thank you so much for your continued and ongoing support of Calendar Bay Church. And all you have to do is go to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and go to the About tab, and there's ways that you can give, and just click on there and it will walk you through the process. And once you get it set up, should be good to go from there on. Also, you can mail your gift to the church. Just to mail it to our mailing address, which is Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, that's Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. And once again, thank you for your faithful giving. We've been using a couple of different ways to keep connected during this time. We've been using our Facebook group, and so you can go join our Facebook group. Keeps you posted on all the different stuff that's going on, and gives you some encouragement throughout the week. And we also package all those things and put it in an email that we send out 6 days a week called the Daily Encouragement. And you can actually register for that at our webpage. Again, that's calendarbaychurch.ca. And we would love to be able to stay connected in that way. And you know, we can stay connected in other ways. We can pray for each other. We can call each other. We can email each other. All sorts of different ways that we can stay connected. And so I would encourage you during this time to use some of those forms in order to be able to stay in contact with each other. Prayer chain is up and running, and Denise Boudreau is doing a great job with our prayer chain. And so if you have a prayer request, all you have to do is send it to prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. If you don't have access to email, you can also just call the church, which is 705-752-1649. We check the answering machine periodically, and so the email is a quicker way. But we will try to, as much as possible, get those phone requests on our prayer chain as quickly as possible. Well, we also have at our webpage lots of great resources. You can get caught up on messages that you missed. You can read some of the other blog posts, and we often post denominational news and things that are going on. And so you can go to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and get all that different information. Well, we do want to take some time to celebrate around the Lord's table. And before we do that, I want us to sing a song that focuses our thoughts on the cross. And so let's sing together, "Lead Me to the Cross."
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once had,
that's my prayer for us this morning, that God would lead us to the cross, that place where Jesus died for our sins so that we could have life. And he told us that we needed to take time and to pause and to reflect and to thank God for this precious gift that he gave on the cross, in the gift of his Son, which gives us life eternal and life abundant. And so as we pause this morning to say thanks to God for this great thing that he has done for us, and he says, do it in remembrance of him. And as we do it in remembrance of him, I always think it's so important to be able to come with thanksgiving in our hearts. You know, the Word of God talks about enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. And so just before we partake together, I want you to be thinking right now in your heart of something that you are thankful to God for. You know, just pause for a second and think and reflect, and where you are, whether it be out loud or just in your heart, I want you to say, I thank you, God, for, and then fill in the blank. You know, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. And so let's lift those up. God, we lift these thanksgivings up to you and say, God, thank you for all that you do in our lives, for the good things that you bring, that you work everything out for good. And we just offer these thanksgivings as a sacrifice of praise to you. And most of all, God, we are thankful for the gift of your Son, what the Apostle Paul calls the indescribable gift. And we thank you for him, Jesus. In his name, amen. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And every time you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me. And so as we give thanks for this bread, let's remember the great sacrifice on the cross. Father, thank you for this precious gift of Jesus Christ, your body, which was broken, that hung on a cross and died, but yet was raised to new life so that we too could have new life in Christ. And as we eat together, it's with thanksgiving for all that you have done and continue to do in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together. Jesus also, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant that is in my blood. And every time you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me until I return. And so we are also thankful that in the shed blood of Christ, there is healing for our needs, and that he brings fullness and completeness to our lives. And so as we partake together, we want to just again take a moment and pause, and also just to lift up our cares and our concerns. And so wherever you are right now, I want you to be thinking of something that is of a concern to you, whether it be physical healing, emotional or spiritual healing, whatever it is that you're going through right now. I would just encourage you, just imagine yourself coming to the foot of the cross and just unburdening yourself with those things and laying them at the foot of the cross. Father, now as we come and we unburden ourselves at the foot of the cross, we just bring it there, and whether it be a physical, spiritual, or emotional need, maybe it's a need for someone else, that there's someone in our lives that they need to know Jesus, or that they need a special touch from you. Father, we lay all those things at the foot of the cross, knowing that you are more than able to accomplish all these things that concern us today. And so, Father, we thank you that, as a great hymn writer wrote, burdens are lifted at Calvary. And so, Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that burdens are lifted at Calvary. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. The Word of God tells us that we are to celebrate until the Lord comes. And what a glorious day that will be. And so we want to sing that song together. Glorious day. Remembering what Christ did and what we looked forward, or what we look forward to.
Jesus came forth to be born of
Well, we are continuing on with a series of messages called Helping You Navigate Life, looking at principles from God's Word that are help us to get through some of the difficult issues that we are facing in life right now. Life is extremely complicated and hard. And there are some difficult things that we would be going through, almost like landmines that we're going through. And what is God's direction on going through those? Sometimes the Bible doesn't speak directly on these issues, but it does give us principles. And so today, particularly, we want to kind of walk through some tough issues as we continue on. If you haven't gone through some of these messages, they're all available on our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. Right now, we live in a very polarized world. And this is not just a sense that I have or something that is, you know, well, just a feeling or something that I've got. This is something that is been proven. They've done studies on this, and they realize that there is a polarization that is taking place, particularly about political ideologies that are really making people very, very opposed to one another. We have been more partisan, extreme, and divergent views than a decade ago. So even just a decade ago, there was a far more mid-range kind of thing. But now, very, very polarized. And the main reason for that is the power of social media. Social media has really given rise to some of this polarization. And the reason is because it has allowed people to connect with like-minded people. And I have often wondered, now this is my personal opinion, is that how in the world can the flat earth movement get traction? You know, that I thought that there was enough science, enough, but this is a movement that has gotten momentum because of the internet and social media, that it gave like-minded people the opportunity to be able to get together and formulate and go, yeah, you know, I think that too, and I think that. And so there's this power of like-mindedness, even though there may not be any substance to that. They would disagree with me on that, but that there is this connection that happens of like-mindedness. One of the other things that social media has done is it has introduced us to extreme viewpoints, because extreme viewpoints often get more traction. And this is not even just on political issues. One study that I read was talking about food web pages, you know, the ones that post people's pictures of their lunch or something that they made. And the things that often get the most traction are like things like the burger that's like 3.5 feet tall and has 4,000 pieces of bacon on it. You know, that extreme burger that there's no possible way you could ever eat that thing. But on social media, that burger gets lots of likes, lots of shares because of the extremeness of it. And so this is what has happened through social media, is there has been an exposure to the extremes. And in being exposed to the extremes, it has led to extreme opinions. The rise of fake news. Now, we talked about this in the post-truth message, but fake news has been built that there is news that is being sent with false information, intentionally false, but what it is trying to do is garner an emotional response to that. And so people believe it, even though they are told it is not true, because it has garnered an emotional response from them. And so fake news and the post-truth movement has led to this extremism that has led to this polarization that's taking place in our world. And it's also given everybody on social media has a soapbox, whether you want it or not. And by soapbox, actually, I guess that's a term that maybe is obsolete now. Soapbox was the when you used to stand on a box on the corner and be able to talk to anybody. And so you had a soapbox. Social media not only gives you a social a box to your small window of friends, through social media, you now have a worldwide soapbox. And what it has led to is a lot of ideology hatred, particularly in politics, that there is a lot of attacks on fundamental right-wing people. There is also a attacks on social left-wing ideologies. And so these ideologies are being hated by the other side because, well, social media gives you a soapbox in order to be able to, in a very non-intrusive way in your own life, spread out all this to other people. And so what it has led to is this polarization where all people do is yell and scream at each other. And social media, I know that some people have actually started to take a hiatus from it because of this negative side to social media. Now, the other side of it, and this is important to say, is this: that social media is not all bad. Actually, social media during the COVID-19 crisis has been a really good thing. It's allowed people to stay connected. It's allowed us as a church to be able to dispel information to people. You know, there's lots of good things, but there's this other negative flip side that goes along with it. And so what we end up with is these polarized ideas. And so, and sometimes if you are on either side, the left or the right or whatever, it gives you the ability to be able to focus and just go at it, you know, that you can do that. The problem is that I believe that oftentimes the answers aren't found on the extremes. They're found in what I call the messy middle. And this is this message is kind of been a hard one for me to get together. Maybe that's why I think I'm wrapping up today. This has been the hardest one. It was actually an idea I had at the very beginning and almost got bumped out because I just found it was, you know, in talking about helping people navigate, that it almost became too hard to even navigate and try to get across. Because this is a kind of a picture of what life is like. You know, that it starts and it also has an end, but then there's all the stuff that is in between. And I can attest personally that my life is basically a messy middle. That, and then this is something that's also, I actually got the concept from a business book called The Messy Middle. And what they discovered was, is that, you know, starting an idea and bringing it to the conclusion, were in between, there was this process and all that went on in order to be able to get that and all the things that they had to learn. Well, and as I do this message this morning, I'm reminded of a passage of scripture that the Apostle Paul did. And I've always appreciated this from the Apostle Paul. Now, this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 7:12. To the rest I say this, and then he qualifies and puts in brackets, I, not the Lord. The Apostle Paul was wrestling with some morality issues in the Corinthian church. If you know anything about the Bible, the book of Corinthians was written to a church that was really struggling with morality issues. There was lots of things that were going on, kind of stuff that almost makes you blush was going on in the Corinthian church. And Paul is trying to give some advice to them, but he crosses over this line that he says most of the things that's in scripture, Paul speaks with what I would call biblical authority. You know, he speaks strongly and he says it as if the Lord is saying it. But in this passage of scripture, he's going across that line and he says, you know what? This isn't God talking. This is just me talking here. And this is how I kind of apply what I believe to be biblical truth. But, you know, this isn't a word from the Lord. And I thought, good for you, Paul, that you just kind of weren't sure, but you had some advice, but, you know, you just wanted to be on the safe side and make sure that people understand that. And so here he gives an opinion. And as maybe I'm a chicken, I don't know, but I kind of want to qualify as we walk through some of this message, because this is, again, we're talking about polarizations, and anytime you try, you are not on either side, and you're in the messy middle, you're setting yourself up. And so this is why I want to talk a little bit about the messy middle. And there were two ideas that kind of popped into my head as we were talking about navigating life and some of the big problems that I see in society. And there were two that popped right away. And those were morality in our society and social justice. And both of these issues on social media have caused polarizing effects. And it's been difficult to try to walk in the messy middle. And I found this on Facebook, and it just kind of summed up that there's kind of these threefold things of believing that Black Lives Matter, because they do, supporting good police officers, which I do, very upset at police brutality, which I do, I am very upset at that, and somewhere in the middle is me, in the messy middle. And this is what the thing goes on. It says, it's okay to believe all these three because all three work towards the same solution of peace and equality. But in this polarized generation, sometimes walking in the messy middle is an absolute and huge minefield. This is the same with moral changes that's happening in our society. Because we as a church, we want to hold on to biblical truth, but we also want to be able to show the grace of God to people, understanding that people need to have the grace of God extended to them in order for them to understand biblical truth, and that in our world of human rights, that we need to make sure that we understand that human rights are significant. And so here we are, again, placed in the center of those three truths, which seem to kind of conflict with each other. But we want to walk in the messy middle, holding on to biblical truth, but making sure that we are loving and caring and expressing the grace of God in the midst of that, and that we are deeply concerned for the human rights of people. And so there we walk into this middle of all these things. And so I watched a video from the Gospel Coalition, a guy by the name of Trevin Wax, and he says, you know, and he talks about the messy middle in this way. He says that in our society, when it comes to morality, we need to be both raising up the significance and also lowering it at the same time. And so to try to get it, and what does he mean? Because there's two prevalent thoughts right now that's going through our society as far as morality and sexuality. Number one is that sexuality is nothing. You know, we live in what they call a hookup generation. And so it's almost like the Apostle Paul when he's talking again to the Corinthian church. You know, their view of sexuality was food for the stomach and stomach for the food. So basically, if you have an appetite, you have to feed that. And so that's what it basically is. It's an appetite. It's neither good or bad. It's just, it's there. And so you just got to fulfill that thing. And so to that side, we need to raise up and say, no, that's, sex is way more significant and important than that. It's God created boundaries for it, and that it is very significant and important. And so we need to be raising it up. But the other side of it is that it has also become a very identifying position, and that it is the defining thing of everything about you. And so it is become the pinnacle point of identification. And to that, we say, you know what? We need to bring that back down to the biblical idea. And the biblical idea is that there are other things which are more important when it comes to identity. And that's who we are in Christ. And so here we are in the messy middle, saying, no, we need to raise the importance. And then, no, we need to lower that. And so here we are, setting in the messy middle. Life is always lived in the messy middle. Every day of my life is a balancing act of trying to walk in the midst of messy stuff everywhere. And there's a temptation to kind of say, you know what, I don't want to walk in the mess anymore, and just pulling away from that. But most of us, the Bible guarantees that there is going to be mess in our lives. Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But then he goes on, he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. But he still doesn't say, just because you're taking heart and God's overcome that, it doesn't mean that you're not going to walk through that mess anymore. And James talks about the fact that there is always mess in your lives, but that we need to do something with that mess. This is what it says in James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And so James says, you need to reframe the idea of what you're going through. Yes, you're walking through the mess, but in the midst of the mess, reframe it to see the joy in the middle of it. You know what? We reframe it in the sense that, you know, I'm walking into these problems and these difficulties, but God, thank you that I can, by your strength, walk in these things. And so I'm going to reframe everything through joy. Because life is walking in the messy middle. Life is complicated, life is difficult, and we walk in this messy middle because that's where ministry takes place, is in the messy middle. But we as Christians know that as we walk through the messy middle, we can reframe it and consider everything to be pure joy in the midst of it. And so social justice, we need to enter into the messy middle. It's easy to, you know, I have kind of pulled back, didn't want to get too involved with it because I was afraid of getting shot in the middle of it. But maybe that's a bad illustration, because I'm not going to get literally shot. But, you know, it has been a minefield of activity that has been taking place in particularly across the border, but there have been some things that have been happening in our own country as well. And so when it comes to entering into the messy middle of social justice, I think there's three things that we need to do. Number one, we need to lament about it. Lament is just a word for really entering in to the sadness of it. When Jesus's friend Lazarus died, Jesus comes late to the funeral, and that's another story for another day. But Jesus comes to the funeral, and as he comes to the funeral, the first thing he asks is, "Can I go to where he's laid?" And so they bring him to the tomb, and at that moment, John 11:35, it says that Jesus wept. Jesus entered into the emotion and he paused for just put the world on pause, and he reflected on the hard thing that was going on there, and it says that he wept. You know, Jesus knows that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but still he stops and he pauses and he reflects and he is grieved. And he is saddened by what has taken place. And he's saddened by all the other people who are sad and they're grieving and they're finding it hard and they're finding it difficult. Jesus enters into that. And we need to pause and we need to enter into the sadness of this. But it's not just sad in the sense of, oh, that's really sad. You know, because I'll have that. You know, I was made aware of somebody this week that somebody I knew, of someone they knew committed suicide. And I said to them, you know, that's really sad. That's really sad. But that's where it ended. You know, I was sad in that moment, but it really didn't do anything beyond that. And this is a lament or a sadness that we need to not just enter into it. It needs to cause us to do something. We cannot passively just sit there and do nothing. And so sometimes it's hard to figure out what to do. And I think that's why where the next principle comes in is that we need to learn. The Bible says in James 1:5, it says that if anyone asks wisdom, that we can ask God, and God will give it to us in abundance. And one of the things that I have been wrestling with, I've been wrestling with my own personal racism and trying to figure out, you know, is there things, and I found some things from my past where I thought, you know what, God, that was wrong, and I'm sorry. And I'm going to be better now. I'm not going to do those kind of things anymore. And I've even had to catch myself that there are things that have been, you know, just, you know, jokes or whatever that just caused me to reflect. I've even had to reflect on the fact that I had adopted a biracial son. And what that meant, and you know, was I really just showing my white privilege, and all those things, and trying to wrestle with those issues, because I want to learn, and I want to be better. I can no longer just be content in where I am. I want to be better in this area. I don't want to just be a non-racist. I want to be an anti-racist. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not a racist, and that's where we kind of end up, and but we need to move to that next step of, you know, when we see it, that we will be willing to step into that and confront it. You know, I had that moment. I was at a dollar store and I heard somebody saying some things that I thought, you know what, that's racist. And you know what I did? I kind of did the not my circus, not my monkeys. And now I reflect on that and I think, you know what, I probably should have called at that point. Said, you know what, you can't say those kind of things anymore. That's not appropriate. And so we need to lament. And we need to be learning, and we need to be growing. And the main thing that we need to be doing, and this is what Jesus taught his disciples. This is what is going to be different about Christians, and it should be about Christians. When the world looks at us as the church, as followers of Jesus, what are they going to see? I don't want them to see judgment. I don't want them to see anger. I don't want them to see hatred, which is often what the church has been typified as. I don't want that. I want it to be loved. And this is what Jesus said. He says, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this," this is the sign of what the world, no matter what their background, ethnicity, their financial position, whatever it may be, when they look at us, this is what they should see. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another, that's going to be the sign. And not just love those that are in the club. No, loving those in the community, those that are from different ethnicities, different religious background, whatever it is, when they look at us, they should see love. And so love is never complacent. Love is always active. Love listens and seeks conversation. And this is where entering into the messy middle is so important. We have to listen to people. And we have to seek conversation with people. And try to build relationship. Because love is always active, and it always is looking for opportunities to be able to build. And so we need to listen and we need to seek conversation. And I talked about this, being not a racist is not enough. You must be anti-racist. That we need to be, love says, no, that's not right. And it is going to go out of its way to make sure that we are doing what is right. Love is active. Love is also, proximity is not friendship. Just because we live close to somebody, we need to actively be building relationships. And I know this is hard in this day and age because we're really not building relationships with anybody, but we need to be trying extra hard to make sure that we're building relationships with people, whether it be coworkers or whether it be the new neighbor, because it seems like house sales have gone through the roof. Chances are you're going to be getting a new neighbor in the next little while. You know, proximity is not just friendship. We need to go out of our way in order to be able to build relationships with people. And this is what Galatians 6:2 says. And it's an application of the principle that Jesus, so Paul is applying the principle that Jesus said. Jesus said, you need to love people. This is the new command, you need to love people. And so that's the command, that's the law of Christ, is you need to love people. And so Paul applies that and he says, if you carry each other's burdens, this way you fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul says that love, to fulfill the law of Christ, fulfills, you need to fulfill it, you carry each other's, burdens. That you need to go out of your way to carry each other's burdens. And so if there are people in our society who are burdened by something, what does love do? Love goes and helps carry those burdens. And so we need to, again, love flips to action. We need to carry each other's burdens. And so whatever it is that people are going through, love tells us, the law of Christ tells us that we need to carry each other's burdens. And so we need to lament and be grieved by what's going on. We need to learn and we need to self-examine ourselves and see if there's anything that's not pleasing. And we need to fulfill the law of Christ by being loving. Ministry in the middle is messy. But I think this is exactly where the church needs to be. We don't need to be out on the fringes. We need to be walking into the center of it all, in the mess and where it's complicated and it's hard. And we need to fulfill the law of Christ in the messy middle, because ministry takes place in the messy middle. We want to sing in conclusion. I always say that, but really we're not singing in conclusion. We're going to sing a song in conclusion. And this one has been one of my favorites, where it talks about building your life, that I will build my life upon his love. It is a firm foundation. And we need to build our lives on the firm foundation of the love of God. But understand this, when you build your life on the firm foundation of the love of God, you will find that it will always draw you into the messy middle, because it's in the messy middle where we see ministry take place. Father, this has been a very difficult time in our history where we are walking through so many difficult and complicated issues. And Father, sometimes we get so polarized over different ideas and concepts. Father, help us as the church to go into the messy middle to bring the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of Jesus into the messy middle. God, give us the strength. Give us the ability. Help us each day to build our lives on the love of God, because it is a firm foundation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me
I hope and pray that we're able to build our lives upon the love of Christ. And as we go into this messy world and in the middle of all the things that are going on, that God would give us His strength to bring the message of Jesus to a world that needs it so much. Well, thank you for being a part of our service today. I hope you have a great week. A reminder to you that if you do want to attend our in-person service, all you have to do is pre-register by going to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca. On the header there, it will just say, click here to pre-register. And you can go there and register and be a part of in-line. If not, or in-house. But if you want to continue to do online services, God bless you as you do that. And let's just pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's build one another up. And as the Word of God tells us, let's carry each other's burdens. Have a great week.